You know, speaking about email lists and community and prioritizing building your community as a yoga teacher, whether you're online or in person, this is so important, is to build your community, because I have a really intuitive gut feeling that this teacher training is going to sell out, because, and I think it's going to sell out with mostly my studio members, because they are hungry to keep evolving with me. They are so primed and educated to take on this next level of studentship and step into the yoga teacher role, because they've been consuming all of this incredible content inside of the studio, right? They've been dedicated practitioners, and they're really just waiting on me to get my shit together.
Hey there, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast. I'm your host, Susanne Reicher, here to help yoga and wellness entrepreneurs build a thriving online business. If you're ready to make a bigger impact and earn money online, you are in the right place. Each week, you learn about websites, digital products, social media strategies, and what's working now to build your online business. And now let's get started. Ellie, welcome to the Blissful Biz podcast video show.
Thank you for having me. It's so good to reconnect with you.
I know, it's so amazing. I think the last time you've been on the podcast was early 2020, or in the middle of 2020, in the middle of the pandemic, crazy times.
Yeah, at that time, my husband and I were on a circumnavigation sailing journey, and my yoga community and business was the main factor that was supporting that endeavor. And then the pandemic shut the dream down, unfortunately, but through that dream getting shut down, many other ones have been birthed, like my daughter. So a lot has changed, a lot has evolved, and I'm so excited to see where we're both at.
Yes. Why don't we start with you introducing yourself to the, like one or two listeners who don't know you yet. What do you do?
Yeah. So I am a holistic yoga student and teacher, and I really love to help expand yoga students' perspective of what yoga is and really help people make the shift away from the mainstream watered down version of yoga that so many of us are exposed to embracing a holistic yoga practice that has tools and teachings that help you grow both on and off the mat. And I do that through a YouTube channel, and I do that through an online yoga studio called the Body Mind Soul Studio. And I do that through in-person retreats that have just now been brought online again, post-COVID. And I'll also be doing that through a future holistic yoga teacher training that I'm currently building.
Oh, amazing. That's so exciting. So thanks for that update. And you're based in Florida now, right?
Yes, born and raised here, back here, building a family, building our root system, and continuing to build this business.
That's nice. That's so exciting. It's a beautiful place to live as well. Do you think you ever go back to living in a sailing boat?
Yeah, so we have a dream to get back out there in about a decade. Mm-hmm. Scarlett will be roughly 10, and hopefully our second kid will be roughly 7-ish. So old enough to be a little bit responsible while traveling, but young enough to not get mad at us for pulling us away from all of their friends and social activities. We would love to do another journey and start in the Mediterranean and make it to Australia. This past experience, we got cut off in New Zealand, and that's where we left our boat unknowingly, and then had to sell it there when the whole world went into lockdown.
Who knows? We might be able to meet up here in Spain in the Mediterranean.
Yes.
Who knows?
Ooh. Hey, hey.
I might be here in 10 years.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So we do hope to get back out there.
Mm. So let's talk a little bit more about your business today. You're such a huge inspiration for a lot of yoga teachers. I think I use you as an example of what's possible all the time.
Yeah, I'm really
inspired by your business and by what you do. It feels like you really found a way of
growing it or building your business in a way that feels aligned. You do your own thing. You don't follow like every trends or what everybody else is doing. It feels like you really, like you focus now on chakras and things like that. So it's not like lose weight with yoga or I don't know, any crazy fads that are out there. And I love that. It's so beautiful to see that. Can you share more about your journey, really, how you got there, where you are today?
Yeah. So I became a yoga teacher while I was still working full-time in the marketing world, very much a corporate culture. I was in a cubicle. I became a yoga teacher thinking that it was my gateway into a new career, as I'm sure most yoga teachers realize very quickly that the outdated in-person studio model will never get you to a thriving full-time income. It's really impossible and not sustainable or fulfilling. And so about a year and a half into working in the studio 4 or 5 days a week, also working my full-time job, I decided to get online. And these were the days when blogging was popular, Pinterest was just gaining traction, Instagram was coming onto the scene. And teaching yoga online was looked down upon. And so when I got on YouTube, I was actually nervous that I was going to get trolled by other yoga teachers and told that this isn't appropriate, this isn't responsible, but I did it anyway. And look where we are now. Everyone's teaching online. And through YouTube, I built my email list, which is my greatest asset to my business still to this day. It always has been and it always will be. And I developed my first course or program, and that then snowballed into in-person retreats. And now my greatest achievement is our online yoga studio, which is the Body Mind Soul Studio. And we're going into our fourth year. So we've gone from, I don't know if we're still considered a toddler, but we've gone from newborn to infancy and to toddlerhood. And I think we're really coming into our own now with what we offer as an online yoga studio, and one that we really pride ourselves in being holistic. And so that's incredibly important to me. And so along the way, you know, my journey started off like many young yoga practitioners. It was very vinyasa based. It was very athletic. It was very competitive. And I really chased the advanced, I'm doing air quotes here for the listeners, I really chased the advanced posture, seeking success, achievement, a sense of worthiness, something to post on Instagram. And, you know, in time, the lure, the enchantment faded away. And as I became a yoga teacher and delved further into the teachings, I really became disenchanted with the surface level experience that I was having. And so that really began to guide me as both a student and a teacher. And I noticed that when I would put this type of content out on YouTube, it barely gained any traction. Like if I put a class out themed around one of the yamas or the niyamas or the chakras, at the time the chakras weren't as mainstream, it barely would gain traction, or a pranayama class. And this is really still true to this day, right? It's a very mainstream world out there when it comes to people approaching their yoga practice. And I got really frustrated and fed up because I was putting all this time into sequencing and filming and editing and promoting. And I knew these teachings were important and that they were resonant and transformative, and I needed to just get them into the right hands. And so that was really the itch that started the Body Mind Soul Studio, where I had a safe haven to deliver these teachings that I was really finding my own, you know, my own self within as a student. And I've never looked back. And the teaching has evolved, or the studio has evolved so many times. There's been so many iterations, just like anything that goes through stages of evolution. But that's where I'm at. And my in-person retreats are mostly filled with my studio members that want to meet in person, as well as people on my email list. So it is my community that wants to come and gather and connect in person. And I feel so fortunate that I always knew from the beginning to build an email list.
I mean, so many people today say that's so hard. They create a freebie and then nobody's interested in it. So I think it might be a little bit harder today because people are now used to all those freebies. And when you started, and probably when I started, like Business for Yoga Teachers, it was so unique. There wasn't really anything else out there, right? So
You could put out any freebie and almost anyone would download it because it was new to be able to get valuable content for free online and delivered straight to your inbox. And now that's not new.
No.
And I heard this great thing on another business podcast about how COVID sent us into this state of overconsumption because we were all at home and most of our lives were put on pause. And so we consumed more content than we would in that, you know, 18 to 24 months. And now people are burnt out on consumption. And so we have to get so much more creative to get people to feel enticed enough to give us entrance into their inbox. And not only entrance into your inbox, but then take the action to download the material or listen to the podcast or watch the webinar. People are just tired.
There's a lot of noise for sure. I feel it's more important than ever to be authentic, share a voice, share your unique voice, and don't just like share what you read in yoga journal or what you learned in your yoga teacher training. You don't want so many people sound like a Wikipedia article, and that can't be it. You did an amazing job right from the start. You're a great writer. I think you have such a unique voice and how you describe your classes and your newsletters. So I think that's why people are following you. So it's not because you put out a freebie or beautiful Pinterest pins. Those people wouldn't have stayed with you if it weren't for the connection that you then built with those people through your content and through the way you show up and share what you feel really inspired about.
Yeah, absolutely. I try to always read back what I'm typing and make sure it sounds like what I would say aloud. Here's a great example. I just had to cancel our new moon ceremony inside the studio because I had a stomach bug and I was profusely vomiting. And my team put out a notice for me that a ceremony was canceled. And they did it in a very nice way. The communication was, unfortunately, Allie isn't feeling well. And I read that and I was like, oh, that is just not transparent enough for me, because Allie isn't feeling well could be translated as, oh, she has a headache or a little head cold. And so therefore we're not important enough for her to try and push through. Right.
Oh, it could be like a big crisis.
Yeah. And so I edited the copy and said, unfortunately, Allie is currently vomiting and she will be unable to teach your new moon ceremony aptly. And so my team was like, we didn't know how transparent you wanted to be. And so I try to be very real and authentic so that people know exactly what's happening. And this isn't always right. I'm not giving people the behind the scenes of every single tragedy that's happening, but I think that's why there's a deep sense of community within my community, because I've been very real throughout the years. And very transparent with what I know and what I don't know and what I'm navigating and when I need to take a break from YouTube or take a break from Instagram and why I've done that, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. How does it work now in your membership? Do you teach live classes? Is it only you teaching or do you have other teachers? How many members do you have? What does it look like?
Yeah. So I'd like to go through the stages of evolution if that's okay for you. All right. So the first year we started, I did a monthly workshop. And so there were themes like the yamas, the niyamas, the root chakra, the fall equinox, wheel pose, really whatever I was studying and curious about, I would develop a workshop around. And that workshop would include a collection of classes and what I call off the mat materials, which is usually in the form of a workbook with journaling, contemplative, reflective style questions in relation to the on the mat practice. So we can have this holistic experience, right? So I did a year of that and then I got burnt out and I was like, I can't keep coming up with all these monthly themes and monthly workbooks. And so then I switched to a year-long chakra theme because I was teaching that at my in-person retreats. And so I had a lot of content that was able to get repurposed. I had the sequences already written. I had the manual materials that could be broken up into individual workbooks. So I did a year of that, right? And then I transitioned into quarterly courses because again, I was like, this monthly grind is too intense for me right now. And so then I transitioned into quarterly courses with myself and guest teachers. And these were immersive courses, almost mini yoga teacher training programs, if you will, pranayama and yin, mantras and mudras, mindful eating, strength training, and somatics. So I sought out really skilled teachers within their fields and brought them in to not only diversify the teachings and expand people's experiences, but also to take the load off me, right? So I could be the visionary and be the leader, but also be a teacher still. At the same time, we were in COVID land, and this is when I brought in the live experiences, but we went ham, like too ham. And what I mean by that is we had a live meeting or call every single week. There would be a call with me, a class, and there would be a book club, then there would be a co-working call. And it worked in the beginning because people were crazy frenzied for intimate online connection. If you remember this in the very beginning stages of COVID, we were obsessed with Zooming. But then a few months into COVID, people were burning out and our attendance rates were dropping rapidly. And so then the next iteration, which was last year, is again, we did our quarterly courses, but we really stripped away a lot of our live offerings and got down to the bare essentials. And so now we have a book club every quarter. We have seasonal virtual retreats and we have one monthly live gathering where it's part asana, part journaling, part intimate connection. And then we've evolved again. I think I'm going into the fifth year. Yeah, we're going to the fifth year now. And now I'm back to monthly classes. So inside the studio every year, we do a survey around summertime. And then at the end of the year, we do a town hall meeting to announce all of our changes and why we're making those changes. And it's really based off the studio survey results, but it's also based off my intuition. And so people were getting stuck in this place of I'm not completing the courses. And so therefore I'm not a good yoga student. And so therefore I shouldn't be investing in this membership. And so as a result, I'm going to cancel, right? And that's your biggest frustration as the owner or leader or business. The leader of any membership model, whether that's an in-person studio or online, is people canceling their memberships, right? It's called churn. You want your churn to be low. And so I have to listen to people, right? And make adjustments to keep them engaged and feeling like they're making incremental progress. So we're going back to monthly classes, but they aren't super immersive, intense with workbooks attached to all of them. And I have guest teachers still involved. So 50% of the content is me. 50% of the classes are filmed by guest teachers. And I just want everyone listening to know that it took me 2 years to build up to even having the courage to invite people into my studio or the ability to let go of control. So there's that. So we've got a monthly class offering, and then we have live events. But there's one more thing that we now have in the studio that really sets us apart from pretty much every other yoga studio that's online. And me and the team have secretly signed up for almost every competitor's community. And that is, we have what's called a success path. Do you know Stu McLaren?
Yes, of course. Yeah, I've done his program, yeah. Tribe.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So this is Stu's formula. And it is that when people enter into your membership, your course, or let's even say your workshop series as a yoga teacher, or even an in-person retreat, right? they're coming in and starting at point A, and we want to bring them to point Z as quickly and as clearly and as effectively as possible. We want them to experience transformation. And often online studios, whether it's yoga, whether it's fitness, whatever the element is, you log in and there's just this overwhelming amount of content. And there's not much direction around what to do with it. Or there might be a simple PDF that says, pick your favorite courses that are in the course library and get started.
And no, it's and overwhelming. So, yes.
It's so overwhelming. And, you know, I found this with other yoga memberships that I've joined personally. I found this with business memberships that I've joined, and then I quickly leave because we sign up, we enroll in a teacher's vision because we want their guidance, right? We don't want to have to guide ourselves when we're students, and we shouldn't have to. At a certain point, you get to a level of being what I call an empowered yoga student, where you're able to discern what you need based on your energetic resources. But that takes a lot of time, right? To develop that ability to discern what you need. So when people enter into our studio, we take them through what's called the body, mind, soul method. And the backbone of the method is based on the chakra system. And so you go through these seven stages and you take different courses that have been filmed from the beginning of the studio, right? I haven't been creating new content. I just repackaged all my content that I created throughout the years into this step-by-step successive progressive formula so that people can come in and they immediately have a path to follow. And it really eliminates overwhelm and confusion. And it helps them build this holistic toolkit that I'm constantly preaching about. Yeah.
I love that. That's amazing. I love that that you created that, let's call it success path. Maybe you have another word.
So we call it the body, mind, soul method, but it's based on Stu McLaren's success path teachings.
Yeah. I love that. And also with your monthly workshops, do you use them in your marketing? No, not yet, because it's not open all the time, right? You have like how often do you open doors to your studio? Twice a year or?
Twice a year. It's not as consistent as I would love it to be. We were sailing. I was pregnant. I was in postpartum.
But nobody cares about that. I mean, seriously.
You don't have to
live your life and do what works for you.
Yeah. I mean, my bank account cares, but
okay.
aside from my bank account, no, I have energetically always said, I've always been very clear on when it's time for me to launch. This year, one of my central goals is to be evergreen with possibly a yearly live launch layered in to create more engagement and excitement. The live launch model is definitely dying, from my opinion. It's the model I've been doing for everything. And I've just noticed the engagement is really dropping from every perspective, right? From a paid advertising perspective, from an email enrollment perspective, from a social perspective. And the way people did launches a year ago, 2 years ago, again, I think it's that saturation and overconsumption and people being too distracted. The whole join a Facebook group, post your engagement every day, all this noise, all this intensity over a period of 5 to 7 days, people don't have the bandwidth.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, I don't. Like, when someone comes to me with that invitation, even if it's a teacher I really look up to and trust and want to learn from, it's a big no for me. I don't want to be somewhere every single day at the same time live with you. I have a baby, I have a business, I have a husband, I have my own interests and pursuits. Like, I want to watch it in bed at night on my own time and then decide to enroll, you know, based on your messaging and what you're selling. And so that's my big goal this year, is to learn how to get the studio successfully evergreen with that added layer of live launching, maybe once or twice a year.
No, that's a really, I still do live launches, but in a very easy, flowy way, right? Normally it's just like one masterclass and I don't even do challenges. I don't want to do a summit with a million participants and emails. And that sounds like the most stressful period that you could have in your life. And basically sell something all the time, every week. Yeah. And not just, yeah, I don't want to have bigger and bigger launches and affiliates and other things, just like once or twice per year. Yeah, as you said, I think people, it's probably still working. I mean, people are still doing that. They're still following that model, but it sounds so exhausting. And mm-hmm. I think Evergreen, I think it's time to give the power back to your customers. They're not stupid. When they are ready to invest, why would you tell them you have to wait for 6 months? They will go somewhere else.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's just the truth of it. It used to be that people would wait because there weren't as many options, right? And now the options are endless and they will find what they need with someone else if you're not ready and able to provide it. And that doesn't mean you need to be evergreen, but I think the current landscape is a blend. Right? Is finding, yeah. Just like we teach in yoga, you know, shtira and sukha, you know, strength and ease, stability and support. We want both, right? We want to be able to offer our programming when people are ready, but we also need times where we like increase the intensity.
No, and it's also a great way when you have people who went through your evergreen funnel. So it's like your email sequence or something inviting them to join and they didn't join. And then when you do a live launch, you're actually reminding those people of your offer. And they're like, oh, now it might be the right time for them. Now they might be in the right mindset and they might join. So just to get back in front of them. And then, of course, when you do monthly workshops or events, you can use that in your marketing. If you want to join that, join the membership.
Yep. Yeah.
So you have an incentive for people to join. That's like, you know, so no, I think
something we're going to test, start testing is our quarterly seasonal virtual retreats inside the studio is selling those as one-off live experiences to the greater community and hoping to then convert people after that event into a studio member. So it'll be a low ticket, you know, offer where you come to this 2-hour live workshop, 2-hour live retreat and get a taste of our yoga community and then hopefully come into the studio as a full-time member, right? So we're brainstorming how we can do it. And, you know, back to talking about freebies, even my current freebie with all the awareness and knowledge and experience that I have really sucks. It's not a great lead generator to go into the online yoga studio. Like the puzzle pieces are not fitting together well. And I've known this for a while. I haven't had the capacity to focus on it. And so it's still converting people onto my email list. It's a great freebie, right? It's packed with resources. It has a great email sequence that supports it, but it's not the one that's going to help funnel people into the studio. So I think sometimes we have to be patient. Not sometimes, we always need to be patient with ourselves and extend grace, knowing that we can't work on the whole puzzle all at one time. And, you know, identify where the misfits are and then just know like, okay, I'll get to you when I have the bandwidth, but right now I'm over here. And for me, my here right now is building an online yoga teacher training. And originally I thought I could start a small high ticket yoga teacher coaching program and build a teacher training. And I quickly realized I can't do both. And so this year is dedicated to building that teacher training. And that's really my main focus. And the studio becoming evergreen, having a better lead generator, you know, increasing my views and visibility on YouTube, having a better social media plan, like all of that will happen. And I want it to happen, but this is my baby this year.
I love it. And yes, this never-ending to-do list, but then figuring out and committing to what you really want to prioritize and mm-hmm. see how you can manage, what you need to change, how you can adapt, or the other things.
Yes.
But you're a teacher training that is like a high-ticket program.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be in the few thousands, the lower 2000 range. And, you know, speaking about email lists and community and prioritizing building your community as a yoga teacher, whether you're online or in person, this is so important, is to build your community, because I have a really intuitive gut feeling that this teacher training is going to sell out. Because, and I think it's going to sell out with mostly my studio members, because they are hungry to keep evolving with me. They are so primed and educated to take on this next level of studentship and step into the yoga teacher role, because they've been consuming all of this incredible content inside of the studio, right? They've been dedicated practitioners, and they're really just waiting on me to get my shit together and, you know, have the courage to evolve myself. But when you build a community, they want to grow with you, right? And so one of the main reminders of this element is my in-person retreats. So with COVID, we had to cancel two, and then I didn't lead them for 2 years. And then I was like, okay, this is the year 2022. I'm going to book three places. I'm going to take a risk and hope that these three sell out. And they all sold out. And I was really nervous. Like, I haven't led one in so long. Da, 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 da. I've been off Instagram for 2 years. I've taken some big breaks from YouTube because of pregnancy and postpartum. But because of the trust factor that I've built up with my community, being in front of them consistently, pretty much weekly, over the span of 6-7 years now, they want to participate. They want to connect, and they believe in me as a teacher and what I can provide them as a yoga student. And so that consistency is so important.
But also, you created that content library on YouTube, right? People still find YouTube videos that you posted probably 6 years ago. So it's not just Instagram content that nobody looks at anymore. That's like the biggest difference.
Yeah. So when I was, you know, late pregnancy, early postpartum, we could compile, you know, lists of yoga classes for people to do and keep sending out weekly newsletters, you know, not pointing them to new classes, but just repurposing and reusing and recycling this giant content library that already exists, right? So that has been hugely beneficial for sure.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, it's like the same in my business and everybody else's. It's always evolving. And things that we started with 2016, I think that's actually when we've been first, like, I think I emailed you. Hey. And I also had a travel blog back then, the yoga travel blog. And then I found your travel blog or something. Yes.
Yes. 2016, I was getting married, and I think that was the very first program I built. So I had probably been on YouTube for a little over a year at that time. Yeah. And oh man, things were very different, but things are always different, right? Like, if someone enters into the scene now, 5 years from now, you'll be having the same conversation. And the people who are teetering on the brink of entering into entrepreneurship will think, well, you started 5 years ago and you had this leg up because things were this way then, and now they're so much more difficult now. That conversation has always existed and it will never end. And there will always be that perspective of, well, it was easier then than it is now.
That's so true. Definitely. Yes. And many things are easier now when it comes to tools, for example, platforms that you can use. If you want to create a yoga membership, you can just use something like Akita or Moments, or there's so many platforms, right? I think you have a custom built one, or how did you set up it?
Yeah. So because I already had a program that I've been selling for a few years, I had the capital to invest in a custom app. And so that first custom app ran me about 10,000. I'm sure the number has gone down because even 5 years ago, a custom app was pretty new. And now I see ads all the time that you can build a custom app for a really low entry price. And then we have a custom desktop site. So that's cost me a lot of money. If I could go back in time and I knew how much a custom desktop site would have cost me, I might have just stuck to the app, but I'm already years into it, so I'm not turning back. But we have a custom app and the desktop site mirrors the app. And yeah, it's beautiful, it's functional, it's intuitive. I love it, our students love it. And it's a fully functioning online studio that is almost as incredible as an in-person studio, right? It's just
an amazing accomplishment.
Those four walls.
That you created that. I think I'm really proud of what you created there, the community and the business. And it's so easy to get lost in thinking, oh, what's next? What I'm working on, and see like everything that went wrong or something, and to see the challenges. But you can, I mean, really, I celebrate you. I'm so...
Thank you. Thank you. And something else to note for teachers that are thinking, well, I need to have this massive audience to have a membership model. An audience will help you, of course, and let's call them a community because that's what they are. But, you know, in comparison to my peers like Yoga with Adrienne or Yoga with Cassandra or Sarah Beth Yoga, a lot of them they all have apps. I think we all have an app now. Brett Larkin Yoga, Kat Meffin Yoga. But the way I differentiate mine is it's almost quadruple or triple or double the price of everyone else's because of what we offer. And we've joined all of the other membership models, all of these other people's memberships. And the participation that we input, me as the leader and my team, is just so much greater. And also having our body, mind, soul method, that success path embedded within the studio, the value is just more. And so therefore I charge a way higher price. And so, you know, my one member is worth four members in comparison to Yoga with Adrienne. So you can offer, I don't want to say more, right? People don't need more stuff, but you can offer more intimate, you know, yoga teachings and tools, whether that's live or pre-recorded, and price it higher so that you don't need this huge audience to have a successful online yoga studio format.
Yes, I love that. I love that. Definitely. One of my students actually starting a membership. She's doing prenatal and postnatal yoga. And even though I'm normally more inclined to recommend online programs, for her, it makes total sense because people who are pregnant, they're on their own deadline, right? They don't want to wait 6 months until the next live launch. So Absolutely. They want to, when they find you, they want to start immediately. And then hopefully they also stay until the end of their pregnancy and post-pregnancy period to work with you. So there the membership model makes total sense because everybody is really on their own deadline, on their own timeline, basically.
Absolutely. And the hardest part about a membership model is the churn. So people leaving, or what's called retention. When you offer a course, a standalone course or program, right, you have a refund policy, but once that deadline has expired, you're not refunding people's money. And so it's very clear how much your income is, right? Whereas with a membership model, you need time to figure out, well, what is, I don't remember what it's called, my LTV, my lifetime customer value. And so you need at least like a year of data to figure out, well, what's the average amount of time that someone is spending inside my online yoga studio? And so then and I know we're speaking in numbers now. So then what is the average worth of that person based on income. And then that can help you decide, okay, well, how much will I spend on advertising if I were to do that? And so in our studio, just roughly for math right here, where's my calculator? And my husband has been very helpful in me understanding this, as has Stu.
Are you good with all those numbers and data? Did you have to, I don't know, get familiar with that, learn how to look at that?
Oh, yeah. I'm not a numbers person. I am kind of allergic to it. And it's probably my biggest vulnerability and area for improvement that I could strengthen is looking at data. I am allergic to it. Like, if it weren't for my husband creating me an expense report template, you know, a few years ago, I used to just do my expenses at the end of the year. And I had no idea what my monthly profit or expenses were or income. Like, I knew nothing. And I just was like, things are going well. And he's really helped me evolve and mature. But the average member inside our studio is there for around 13 months.
Wow, and that's really long. Amazing.
Yeah. And you'll think like, oh, only someone's staying for 90 days, but then you'll have someone stay for 2 years. And so then they balance out that person that stays for 90 days. And so the hardest part is putting in systems to retain people once they come in. And we all know this. Think about your own behavior. You enter into a membership model. You're like, okay, I'm going to use it. I'm so excited. And then you don't do shit. And then you start to resent it because you're like, oh, I'm paying for this thing and I'm not using it. And it's taking up my precious resources. And so, boom, I'm going to cancel.
I think my longest membership is Netflix.
Like right now I have a Peloton and I haven't, my husband and I haven't gone on it in probably 6 months and it's in my room staring at me, the bike, and I'm starting to really hate it. And I look on Facebook Marketplace to sell it and there's so many for sale because I think there's so many people in my boat. And so I'm either going to lose a lot of money selling it or lose a lot of money continuing staring at it, or I just need to get my ass on it and use it. So... but my point being, that was a huge learning curve for me over the years, is learning how to put systems in place. And one of my team members came from a really unexpected industry. I think she worked for a bug control company, but that's a subscription service, right? Like people pay for bug control services and they come out every quarter or every 6 months. And so she was very much embedded in the retention of their retention model. And so when she came into our team, she took what she knew from that company and helped us build this whole customer care program where we check in with people like every 90 days. And we have different messaging that we send depending on the maturity of their membership. And so your 30-day message compared to your 90-day message compared to your 6-month message compared to your 12 month or 18 month are going to be entirely different, because we hope that you're maturing with the materials that you're learning. And we hope that you're building relationships within the community. So we've got this amazing program now where emails go out based on the maturity of the member. And that's been a huge help. But that took like 3 years in the making to figure out, like, wow, people are dropping like flies because I'm enrolling them, but I'm not caring for them enough. Like, content isn't enough. There's content everywhere and it's free. So the hardest part is getting people to stick with you.
Yes. And with their own journey and development as well. Right. Mm-hmm. So, because it's so easy to give, I think that's the business model of normal gyms, that you get a lot of members and then they don't show up. Because if everybody who would be a member would be show up, they wouldn't have space.
Absolutely not.
Right? Absolutely so that not. People feel already like they're doing something just by being a member until they check their credit card details and realize, oh, I'm paying for all those things that I don't really use. And then they cancel. I think that was the problem I had when I had a membership, the Blissful Biz Hive. And I found that a lot of people joined and then didn't show up. And I felt like I was giving them the feeling that they were doing something for their business, But just by being a member obviously isn't enough. You also need to take action. And that's why I moved for my field, which is of course different to yoga, to a more premium model where people are committed. When you pay attention.
Yeah. And I think it's two different, it's two entirely different fields in that when you're showing up to learn entrepreneurial skills, it's just like when you're enrolling in a yoga teacher training. You are there to get educated, to learn skills, and to develop within your role. It's just like if you sign up for university, right? You're not going to pay thousands of dollars and not go to your semester course. But for me, and this is what I'm trying to reframe with my membership and my community, is that if you're practicing yoga holistically, then you are a lifelong yoga student. You are not a yoga student only when you get on your mat. You're not a great yoga student only when you're consistent. You're not a great yoga student when you are sweating your butt off in a vinyasa practice. So I'm trying to reframe everyone's perspective that no matter what, you're a yoga student. And that means you will have seasons of low activity, seasons of intensity. You might only participate in our book club because that's what you have the capacity for. Or you might use our class calendar and not be interested at all in the body, mind, soul method because you don't want to go into those deeper teachings. You just want consistency and guidance with our class calendar that tells you what to do every day and how to get on the mat fast, right? So I'm trying to help people expand their perspective of what it means to be a lifelong yoga student and a lifelong learner and in a state of lifelong growth and evolution, and not see the membership as this thing that you constantly have to be using to be validated, right? But when you're showing up for business, it's very much so different in that you do need to be showing up. Otherwise, you won't grow. Right. I think I agree because I know I joined Stu's membership after his course and I wasn't using it. And I signed up for the year because he had a big discount and I canceled it. I just wasn't showing up. It wasn't benefiting me. Right. Whereas with yoga, I feel that the teachings, when they're delivered well, they travel with you off the mat. And they start to really permeate your life and your relationships and your mindset. And that sticks with you as a student. And so you feel very connected to your teacher and the teachings. And you don't need to show up every single week or even every month to feel like you're gaining value. And so I think that's another thing that sets me apart is I'm not delivering this basic stuff around how to strengthen your core, because that's not what someone's going to take off the mat and into a difficult conversation, right? I try to deliver the deeper stuff and the stuff that's going to stick with people. And so throughout the day, when they're in a place of struggle, they come back to the mantra or the affirmation or the breathing technique or just the through line throughout the practice that they just experienced with me. And they're able to lean on it for support and have this sense of scaffolding in their life. And so they don't need to check in the studio every single day to feel like they're getting their money's worth.
Yeah.
And that's really been a big reframe.
That's a really interesting reframe. Yeah. I love that.
Mm-hmm. It's been a big reframe for me too. As a yoga student, there's been a deep sense of guilt and shame if I don't get on my mat every single day. And I've been really tough on myself. And my mentor, Prasad, and many of my mentors in the past have helped me realize that softening is how we stay more consistent. Yeah.
Yes, consistency is important, but we have to give ourselves some grace as well. And you know, you have a kid, you have like a family, it's difficult, and a business. Mm-hmm. To spend like 2 hours a day on the mat and 2 hours meditating or something is probably a challenge. I can imagine.
It is a challenge. And that's why I don't spend 2 hours on the mat. I have a 15-minute breathwork practice I do in the morning, usually with my daughter playing around me. And I fill out a gratitude journal. And that's my current practice. And I barely practice asana. I'm much more steeped in the pranayama and the mantra. at the moment. And so letting go of the idea that I need to be an asana practitioner in order to teach it has also been a big hurdle. But again, it's just, I think, the natural evolution that we go through.
And especially, I think, as a young mother, I think it's just like, it's a phase in your life where all your priorities shift. And it's probably an opportunity to learn a lot about that.
Absolutely. Any other questions about the membership that you think your listeners would be interested or facets of my business?
Yes, please share us where people can learn more about that and check it out and become a member.
Yeah, so the Body Mind Soul Studio is the membership, and it's the bodymindsoulstudio.com. It is currently closed, but maybe you're listening to this many months from now, and I have figured out how to be successfully and sustainably evergreen. And so you can join right away. And I just want to say yoga teachers are the predominant listeners here. And so we also have, I would say maybe a quarter of our members are yoga teachers that are there to steep themselves in their sadhana. And so really reprioritizing their practice. I think that's the biggest trap of becoming a yoga teacher, is you get so caught up in becoming a yoga teacher who's interested in building a successful business. I should say that, right? Not everyone wants to combine entrepreneurship with being a yoga teacher. But for those of us that do, we get caught up in this trap of the teacher element and the business element, and we often forget our studentship. And when that happens over time, there's a huge misalignment that begins to occur. And that's where I feel imposter syndrome really starts to surface, and our messaging gets watered down, and our ability to take risk, weakens. And so we have a lot of teachers inside the studio that are simply supporting themselves through sadhana and through getting on their mat and being exposed to the deeper teachings, the richer teachings. So please come join us if you're needing to reconnect with your mat. Otherwise, there are hundreds of YouTube classes that are available for free to support you on my channel.
And we'll all add all the links to the show notes and below the video, so you can definitely check it out. So what's next beside your yoga teacher training? Do you already have plans beyond that? Or
yeah, so in-person retreats are back, which are great. Those are going well, minus the one I just had to cancel. We had one sold out in Peru, and there's been a lot of political and social unrest. And luckily, I had the experience of already canceling too due to COVID. So the emotional attachment to canceling it wasn't as extreme as it was back then. It still sucked because we've been planning it for 7 months and we had to cancel it just 2 weeks prior. But anyway, these are things that happen as yoga teachers, and it's our yoga tools that can help us navigate these difficult challenges. But in-person retreats are back on the docket. The studio, I have a goal to grow it to 3,000. Currently, we're hovering around 800. I think the highest we've gotten is 1,200. So I'm obsessed with the number 3. I have a triangle tattoo on my wrist to represent body, mind, soul, the union of all of these different elements, our multidimensional reality, et cetera. That's why it's called the Body, Mind, Soul Studio. So I just totally lost my train of thought.
So there are 2 more kids on the horizon as well.
Oh gosh, maybe. Definitely another one we're hoping will happen.
Yeah, it must be 3.
I want a 3. But I would love to have a yoga teacher, high ticket coaching experience. That's something I've been dreaming about for many years. And, you know, I've definitely been nervous about who am I to offer this container. So many people are further along. My YouTube channel is slowly growing compared to other people's YouTube channels, or my Instagram exposure is much slower than other yoga teachers. My membership is lower. So there's still lots of imposter syndrome, right, that holds me back from pursuing my own dreams. But that's one that I know I'll pursue after the yoga teacher training. And I got a harmonium about a year ago that I've been avoiding. So learning how to play the harmonium is something that I want to pursue, and really taking my teachings more towards the subtle side. So more mantra, more pranayama, much slower asana practices. So that's a transition I'm going through and nervous about, because YouTube really loves the fitness element of yoga. And so learning how to evolve in that way and letting go of, well, this is what this mainstream world expects of me, but this is what I'm really practicing and what I want to be teaching. So I'm trying to make that shift. That's been a bit difficult. Yeah. So that's a shift I'm working on. And then lastly, I have these visions of leading hiking retreats with yoga being the foundation of those experiences.
Yeah. I love that. I think there's one from a student of mine. She's doing those amazing yoga and hiking the Camino trail in Spain.
Really?
Yes.
That's not far from you. That's not far from you, huh?
No. I could definitely do it if I wanted to. I have a dog now. So she travels everywhere with me. So I have to find experiences that we can do together. So we do a lot of hiking. That's why I actually moved here to the mountain part of the island as well. That's why I'm also considering Switzerland as a destination because of the mountains. And that's what I missed in Portugal. It's nice to hang out on the beach. Yeah. But I don't surf. And so it wasn't really my vibe. And I missed really walking and hiking. Yeah.
I'm burnt out on Florida for that very reason. It is flat. There's only ocean. And I'm born and raised here. And there's only so much ocean you can explore. And the mental, emotional clarity that I experience from being in the mountains and hiking absolutely supersedes how I feel at the ocean currently. My husband, though, is obsessed with the water. So that's why I'm hoping maybe I can mitigate what I want and where we live with adding in these retreats. Yeah. So I have my eye on some trainings that I would love to pursue, like outdoor leadership and outdoor mindfulness, to really create a beautiful, profound experience. I'm sure, as you know, when you're hiking, it's like the challenge of it, the breath work that gets involved, having that at some point, there's a single pointed focus that's required when you're really on a strenuous hike and you're battling your inner demons of whether or not you can really make it. And I feel like all of that is yoga off the mat. And that's something I want to pursue too.
No, I love it. The most beautiful hiking I've done was in Norway. Highly recommended.
Yeah. I was just having a great conversation with someone who's going to Norway and I've never been. So I'll have to pick your brain because I'll get there someday. For now, it'll probably be stateside retreats with young babies in my current season of living. But yeah, those are some of my dreams. Like I said, the number one is the teacher training, and that'll probably be the main thing we focus on for a couple of years, because it'll be, you know, a closed cart scenario. We'll all start together. It'll be a cohort, and I'll only lead one a year so that it's sustainable. So that'll be a new evolving offer that, you know, we'll continue to expand and change. And so that, and getting our studio evergreen. Oh, and one last dream. I really want to start a podcast again. I used to podcast and I've been getting all these intuitive hits to return to podcasting. And so I would like to explore that.
I still love it. I'm so happy to have like amazing guests on the show, especially. I do this mix that I have, like, normally it's like one interview and then it's a solo episode.
How many years has it been now?
3 years. It's like early 20, 20 I started.
Yeah.
3 years. 3 years. Oh my God. Yeah. I think I just published like the 150th episode. Yeah.
Congratulations. So much effort and dedication and devotion. And so many people have benefited. It's
yeah. When I do something, I'm pretty consistent with everything that I do in my business. I haven't always been like the best at selling or things like that or strategy, but I'm consistent. If I do decide something.
I'm the same way, Suzanne. I don't think I'm the best at selling or strategy. I think it's been consistency, and I think consistency wins over intensity. And we always have areas that we can grow within as entrepreneurs and as yoga teachers. But the consistency will always win. Right?
Yeah, I think it's having a strong vision. And I know that I'm in this for the long run. I see myself having like this online coaching business. I'm in my 60s or 70s. I have white hair. I look super wise. People listen to every word I'm saying because I'm old.
So this is what... Have you ever read Playing Big by Tara Moore?
I don't know.
So she has a whole teaching that you envision your inner mentor, and yoga teachers can do this for their businesses. And you're describing your inner mentor, essentially. She's this wise future version of you that's living your life.
No, that's not true. My inner mentor is actually a child.
Oh, okay.
It's from this children's book, The Kindliche Kaiserin, the childish... Empress from a book.
All right.
I had that like in a visualization. She showed up.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, I love the long-term vision. And I think that just goes back to the analogy of being a lifelong yoga student, which every teacher here, we have to remember that. And so if you're a lifelong yoga student, then you're also a lifelong yoga teacher, which means you're a lifelong business owner. And so I think we have to relax and let go of intensity and fast and this sense of rushing everything and just let things gradually happen and unfold with that element of consistency supporting us. And it's just like a marathon runner and how they train for that race. You know, we're training for that experience throughout our lifetime here on planet Earth. And I'm the same as you. I think I'm finally relaxing into my pace and not feeling so rushed, you know, to get somewhere.
Yeah, I think it's phases. Right now, I have that phase where I'm working more again. Last year, I really didn't work a lot. I had private stuff going on. I was traveling a lot. And it's, you know, it's always hard to find that balance. I don't think it ever goes away. And and it's just like some phases right now, I'm like, I want to do all the things at the same time again. I think that's probably going to for a few months. And then I'm just like, okay, let's just like take the camper van and go on a trip and do just what's necessary.
Yeah, I'm so glad you found that flow for yourself. And I hope everyone listening can give themselves the grace to also do that. Social media exposes us to everyone's highlight reel. That's not a new catchphrase that we've heard, but it's really so true. And it's really easy to show your life through the lens of constant growth and constant success. But that's just not the reality. Like, look at nature. Everything goes through this cycle of birth, life, death, and rebirth. And so do we. And especially as women, we definitely go through that physiologically. And then there's energetically what's happening out in nature with the moon and the seasons. And that's happening within your business. And just allowing that to happen, I think, takes off a lot of the pressure. And it creates more spaciousness for creativity and leadership.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's a beautiful end. So thank you so much for taking the time to show up here on the show again. I so appreciate it. It was lovely talking to you. And I really wish you all the best with the teacher training and the retreats and the membership and everything.
Thank you so much for having me again. Nice chatting.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Blissful Biz podcast. If you like the show, please leave a review on iTunes. This would mean the world to me. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to never miss a new episode. To learn more about how to work with me one-on-one, my courses and membership, or to get instant access to freebies, workshops, and more, go to SusanneRijker.com right now. Thanks for tuning in and see you next time. Hey there, interrupting for a short announcement. I'm hosting a virtual bootcamp to help you kickstart your online business from May 6th to May 10th, and I would love to see you there. It's the Make Your First or Next $5,000 online bootcamp, and you can save your spot for this free virtual event when you go to my website, SusanneRijker.com/bootcamp. That's SusanneRijker.com/bootcamp. I'm going to go live every day from Monday to Friday with a live training on how to elevate your vision, choose your profitable niche, amplify your content, nail down your signature offer to make your first or next $5,000. I can't believe how freaking fun, valuable, and powerful this virtual event is going to be. You'll get 5 live stream trainings, all of the recordings in case you can't make it live or need to leave early, access to my new community, the Midlife Biz Hive, including tons of additional trainings for you to dive in, the chance to ask any questions in our calls or in the community. It'll be amazing. This event is a real game changer, whether you're just starting out or you've been at it for a while, but feeling a bit stuck around the maybe $2,000 to $3,000 monthly mark. If you're eager for more and ready to figure out the online business puzzle, this is the perfect place to kickstart your journey to bigger and better results.